This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
Make up your mind to die young, no matter how old you are. Whether you're 23 or 93, choose to be youthfully alive as long as you live. The famous World War II General Douglas MacArthur, he had an essay written by Samuel Ullman on his office wall, and it said, "Youth is not a time of life, it's a state of mind. You're as young as your faith, as old as your doubts, as young as your self-confidence, as old as your fear, as young as your hope, as old as your despair." This is quite different from the unknown author who wrote, "I get up each morning and dust off my wits, pick up the paper and read the obits. If my name is missing, I know I'm not dead, so I eat a good breakfast and go back to bed." You may have seen the list someone made called How to Know When You're Growing Older. It's lighthearted, but true at the same time. You can tell you're growing older when it takes two tries to get up from the couch. Everything hurts, and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. Your children begin to look middle-aged. It takes longer to rest than it did to get tired. You sit in a rocking chair, can't get it going. Your knees buckle, your belt won't. Sink your teeth into a steak, and they stay there. And the little gray-haired lady you help across the street is your wife. Yes, age does pose some physical limitation, but that doesn't mean it has to be the end of personal growth. Getting older doesn't mean you need to stop setting goals or making plans or getting things done. I submit it's not the number of candles on your birthday cake that matters. It's your mental attitude. So never stop dreaming. Never stop believing. Never stop expecting. Keep climbing. Keep moving into the future as long as God, in His grace, gives you a future. Determined to die young, no matter how old you are. Now, we know that Jesus died at the young age of 33. But Deuteronomy 34:7 says Moses was 120 years old when he died, and yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. Daniel, he was approximately 80 years old when he was thrown into the lion's den, and he survived. Caleb, he was still going strong and making one of the most significant accomplishments of his life when he was 85. Now, I realize that you may be forced to retire from your job when you're 65 or 70. In fact, a lot of businesses and organizations, they'll pay you a bonus if you'll retire early. But thankfully, there is no mandatory retirement age with God. It was never His idea to force people to check out when they still have so much left to offer. We aren't to retire from life. We simply retire from one phase of responsibilities to a new dimension of creativity, you know, new interests and service. We're not just getting ready for death. Do you realize that all your life up to this very moment has been preparation for now? You have knowledge. You have wisdom. You have vision. You have talents. And all these are stimulated by faith and compassion. So don't quit. Don't stop growing too soon. It may interest you to know that there have been many people who have achieved their greatest accomplishments in their autumn years. Pablo Casals, for example, continued giving concert into his 90s. He practiced his cello every day. Someone asked him why. And he answered, he said, because I think I'm getting better. Grandma Moses started painting when she was 80. Noah Webster was 70 when he produced his dictionary. Winston Churchill, he didn't reach the peak of his leadership until he was well past 65. And Colonel Sanders was a retired, white-haired old man before he ever began his Kentucky Fried Chicken business. See, these were all winners who determined to die young no matter how old they were. And let me add, winners in life are always learning. This is true for anyone at any age. Winners are curious. They're poking around, seeing how to build a better mousetrap, and thus they build a better world. Losers, on the other hand, they just do their job. They're not curious. They don't learn. So they just find themselves never getting promoted. They're not much fun to be around either. They add very little to the pool of knowledge in any conversation. And they're the very first to complain about change. Why? Because they hate learning something new. Listen, where there's life, there's always growth and change and movement. When anything on God's earth stops growing, stops changing, stops moving, it's dying. It's on its way out. Are you aware that there's nothing static about our lives? Nothing. Everything is changing. Like our bodies. You don't look the same today as you once did. And if you don't believe it, just look at a photograph of yourself from 10 years ago. Each moment that we live, old tissues and cells of our bodies, even right this moment, are dying. And new ones are growing to take their place. And our minds are changing. We smile today and sometimes shake our heads at some of the things we believed yesterday. Our values are changing. Things that were so important to us when we were 15 seem pretty childish and insignificant when we're 50. Our characters, our personalities, they're changing. Why? Because we are changing. Our friendships are changing. Some of them have become stronger through the years. Some of them have faded. Our relationships are changing. Even knowledge is changing. You know, physics and technology and business and math, they've all changed a lot in the last 20 years. And the point is this, friends. We have to get on the bandwagon. We have to get in step and start marching, or else the parade will simply pass us by. We'll be left standing on the curb with confetti in our hair, cotton candy on our faces, wondering where life went. Oh, let's not let that be our story. Instead, let's lick off the cotton candy. Let's shake off the confetti. Let's get back in step with the beat of life. And I think the most important area to address in life is our personal relationships that have faded. Some of them have disappeared for whatever reason as we've gotten older. Listen, if we want to grow and we want to change and we want to move forward in our relationships, there's only one person in that relationship that that we can reasonably expect to change. And you know who that is, don't you? That's right. The only person I can change is me. Therefore, if my relationships are going to change, I must be the one to initiate the change. Have you ever heard of naturalism? Anybody? See, naturalism is a myth. And this myth assumes that doing what comes naturally is the authentic thing. That what comes naturally, that's the real stuff. That if you have to change and you have to make adjustments, well, that's just not authentic. That's not natural. And as I said, this is a myth. It is pure nonsense. Sometimes you see it acted out in marriage. Couples think that, you know, if we have to work on our relationship, that must mean we're not successful. I mean, we don't naturally love one another. And this myth, it grows out of statements that you hear like, I found my soulmate. Or how about this one? And they lived happily ever after. As if you naturally find a one and only, and all else just flows beautifully like a stream to the sea. How ridiculous. Pardon my grammar, folks, but there ain't nothing that simple in this life. Almost all good things in life require hard work. You have to do your homework if you expect to learn math and English, and you have to work hard to learn to ride a bike or to swim or to play tennis. The truth is, to have the good life on this earth requires growing and learning and unlearning and relearning. This is one reason I'm so thankful for the Bible. You know, you do realize, don't you, that the Bible is the miracle book of the world? You know that? It's as old as human history, and it's as young as the most recent birth of a new translation. Unlike other books, the Bible is a living, active, and powerful message from our Creator. And guess what it does? It causes growth. It causes change. It causes movement in the hearts and lives of everyone who hears it and heeds it. The Bible's ageless, just like its author. And the ones who read it can also remain ageless through its power. And the Bible, man, it's just loaded with growth concepts. For instance, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." You see, if you want a bushel of grapes tomorrow, you can't have it by planting a grape seed in the ground today. That is how it works. See, that grape seed must go through all sorts of growing processes to produce a bushel of fruit. And Jesus wants you and I to bear much fruit by discovering who we are and devoting ourselves to our own personal growth, our own personal development as Christians. It's a growth concept. Here's another one. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, Notice that. In increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. See, Peter is saying here that if you want to grow, you want to grow up in Christ and be an effective and productive Christian, you've got to keep adding to what you already have. You have faith? Great. Now add goodness to that. And when you have goodness, go after knowledge. Don't quit till you have them all. Keep growing. Now, as you may know, physically, we typically grow slowly, imperceptibly, until we're about 25 years old. That's when our physical ability usually reaches its peak. And incidentally, just let me add here, we're able to retain our physical powers much longer than what was once thought. Studies have shown that the strength of a person at age 60 is only slightly less than the plateau he reached at age 25. Of course, after 60, our physical vigor does decline significantly. However, some amazing physical feats have been accomplished by people who are older. I'm old enough to remember Jack LaLanne. Anybody remember Jack LaLanne? Well-known television exercise coach. He celebrated his 70th birthday by towing 70 boats containing 70 people for a mile across Long Beach Harbor. Absolutely amazing. But wait, he did it by holding the rope in his teeth because he was handcuffed wearing leg shackles. 70 years old. And think about Noah. Noah was 400 when he started building the ark. Remember the boards? They had to be hewn by hand from gopher wood trees. We call them cypress today. But you may be thinking, well, sure, Pastor, but God was given Noah the strength to do that. And that's right. And he'll give you the strength you need to do some of the things he's planned for you to do. And now when it comes to mental growth, research reveals that we can keep on growing mentally almost indefinitely. Oh, we may find it a little tricky to remember numbers and facts as we get older, but the raw level of our intelligence declines only slightly. And in terms of wisdom, which is knowing how to apply knowledge, those who are older have a definite edge over those who are younger. And God knew that, didn't he? I mean, he knew that some things should be taught by those who are qualified by age and experience. Scripture says, in fact, we should rise in the presence of the aged. We should show respect for the elderly. That's right there in Leviticus. This is one area where our culture has ignored Scripture. In the United States, we connect a person's value to his or her ability to work, you know, which, of course, that diminishes with age. In other cultures, however, like in Japan or India or China or Africa, the elderly are respected and admired for their wisdom rather than put down for their declining physical attributes. For instance, in Greece, old man is considered a term of endearment. Seems most of us have forgotten that a grandfather indicates higher esteem than father. And great-grandfather is even higher. And of course, spiritually. How about spiritually? You know, that we can keep on growing spiritually and being productive as long as we live. In Psalm 92, it says, the righteous flourish like the palm tree. They still bring forth fruit in old age. And here's what Paul said to the Corinthians. Don't miss this. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. We are going to die, you know. Is that news to anybody here? No matter how young you may be, you're only, you're actually one day older than you were yesterday. And one day closer to the time of your death. You may be beautiful, you may be handsome, but one of these days, the changing process continues, and you're going to get wrinkles on your face, and you're going to have sagging flesh around your throat and your neck muscles, and you're going to get dark spots on your skin. And even if you use cosmetics to cover up those blemishes on your skin, you're still going to grow old, and you're still going to die. No one's getting out of here alive. Therefore, we can look at old age as a period of growth and development that's going somewhere better, or we can resent God. We can resent the world. We can resent ourselves and experience all sorts of bitterness. I mean, who are the most loving and helpful people you know? Old people. They've had more practice. Now, who are the most hateful and cantankerous people you know? Old people. They've had more practice. So what kind of person will you be when you get old? And let me give you a clue. The way you think and act now will determine the kind of person you're going to be when you're old. As the saying goes, it's not how old you are that counts, it's how you are old. Don't be like the woman in the poem who said, "The older I grow, the meaner I get. Don't tell me I know. The older I grow, like peanuts and snow, like gossip and debt, the older I grow, the meaner I get." The truth is, we are becoming what we're going to be. As we age, we're preparing for the life ahead of us. It's like every day is judgment day. Therefore, the best way to approach aging is to improve our life now by sweetening our spirit, controlling our temper, deepening our consciousness of God in our daily lives. And we can also prepare ourselves, of course, financially and emotionally, as well as in our spirit and our relationships. See, we who have been made alive in Christ, we know that we're moving to a place far better than anything we've experienced on earth. Like one old timer said, "I am an immortal soul. 1,000 years from now, I shall be alive and active somewhere, and the future will always be better than the present or the past because I am growing and progressing." And he is right. That's why we shouldn't lose heart just because our physical bodies deteriorate a little more every day. We are sustained in life by the master of the universe who gave each of us his personal guarantee. This is where you lean in. I want you to read the personal guarantee with me. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will deliver you. What a wonderful promise. All we have to do, friends, is hang in there by faith and keep moving forward and living with purpose. As the old Robert Browning poem says, our times are in God's hand who said, a whole I planned, youth shows but half. Trust God and do not be afraid. Amen. This is why through joys and sorrows and through afflictions and peace, youth and mature years, we find our fulfillment in God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He who is faithful and true. You know what he says? I have made you and I will carry you. Hear what your God is saying to you. Now I realize that some of you hearing me today are early in the process and you'll have difficulty seeing life's total picture. All the young people. So just trust me when I say that God is not like a child who jumps thoughtlessly from one thing to another, never finishing anything. No, we can trust that God finishes what he starts. He sees it through to the end, and that means you, and that means me, and that includes history. You see, in life, we first skip across the low plains. Oh, there are so many paths and life seems endless. Next, we climb the foothills where there's direction and there's pull, there's strain, but we can't see the whole way. We pass through tunnels, you know, where it's dark. We're not sure exactly where we're going to come out. And then we reach the higher plains of marriage and family and work and career and commitment. Oh, the air is clearer. Our vision is much better. There's beauty all around us. We can see backward. We can see forward. There are more tunnels as we push on toward the peaks of knowledge and service and accomplishment. And now, above us, is the final mountain pass, the great divide. Behind us is the life that was. Ahead of us is the life that is to be. Behold the city of God. His guarantee is, I have made you, and I will carry you. And I will sustain you, and I will deliver you. So we don't need to be afraid. We can trust, listen, we can trust the whole process. It will take a lifetime of growing stage by stage by stage to experience the life that God has in mind for us here. Only then will we be ready to begin the next step. Yes, there is one. The next step toward what God has in mind for us in eternity. Is anyone here old enough? You old enough to remember a George Jones song entitled, I Don't Need Your Rocking Chair? Huh? The lyrics say this, I don't need your rocking chair, your Geritol or your Medicare. I've still got neon in my veins and this gray hair don't mean a thing. Now, it's an interesting song, particularly that one line, I've got neon in my veins. Though I'm not sure precisely what it means, I think Mr. Jones was simply saying the years may be piling up, but there's a real difference between aging and dying. I'm still alive, he says. There's still a light burning inside me. Don't mark me off too soon. I still got neon in my veins. I'm reminded of the late Art Linkletter. He had a book he wrote called, you've heard of it, Old Age is Not for Sissies. And he wrote in that book, he said, attitude may well be the most important word in the English language. It is the word that explains why some of us who are 75 feel and act 40, and why some who are 40 give the appearance of being 75. So, for those of us who are dealing with the bees, you know, bunions, backache, bulges, bifocals, baldness. Those who are dealing with the bees. What can we do to keep neon in our veins? How can we remain forever young, even as we age? Well, I'm going to give you, as we close this morning, three simple tips. Number one, take care of yourself. Now, this one requires determination and discipline, as well as lots of other ugly words like diet and exercise. Did you know it's been well documented that every physical limitation ordinarily associated with aging, from gastrointestinal difficulties to loss of bone mass to heart, lung, and kidney function, even to loss of memory, all can be impeded or significantly delayed by intelligent diet and exercise. And also provide yourself with enough rest. Develop a hobby. Stop and smell the roses. Taking care of yourself will add years to your life and life to your years. Number two, take care of your world. And what I mean by this is the world as found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This world refers to the people that Jesus died for. We need to take care of our responsibility to share Christ with our generation. Whether you're a boomer or a buster or a millennial or whatever, share Christ with those in your world. Number three, take care of your soul. Mark 8:36 says, what does it benefit a person to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? Let's not forget that this world and everything in it, except people, is temporary. Your house, your clothes, your car, your job, your physical body, everything's temporary. Therefore, our personal relationship with Christ must always override any other thing in our lives. So whether a person is 25, 95, or anywhere in between, the only way to have meaning in all our tomorrows is to develop and deepen that relationship with God in all of our todays. So, how do we age without growing old? How do we keep neon in our veins? How do we add years to our life and life to our years? How do we remain young forever? Take care of yourself. Take care of your world. Take care of your soul. For you see, friends, the Christian life is fulfillment. not decay. It goes forward. It never goes backward. And it takes years to bring the ripeness of maturity. Life with God is not going into a funnel, you know, dwindling and shriveling and getting smaller. No. Life with God is coming out of a funnel and ever expanding. The body weakens, but the soul strengthens. This is the difference between man, the human animal, and man, the person of faith. Christians aren't afraid of the upper half of life because we believe our God when he says, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will deliver you. We Christians really do believe the best is yet to come. Father God, thank you for your guarantee. Help us to see life as you do, as a wonderful gift that prepares us for an even more wonderful future. Use this message, I pray, as motivation and an encouragement to every person, young and old. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.